Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, and I want to let you know that later on in the show, we will go ahead and talk to Candace for our inbox segment. She's going to be talking to us about building a relationship and waiting and preparing. And quite frankly, if it's God's will that you get married, won't he just bring someone to you anyway? So why are we all up in arms about it on the front end? So she's going to give a good balance to that kind of question. Then for our culture segment, we have Crystal Evans-Hurst. She is the daughter of Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the book that she wrote with her dad called Kingdom Woman. This is for you ladies. If you wondered, like, how do I really live out my faith and live out my femininity in light of the gospel? What does that look like? She's going to give some great practical advice for that. I do want to let you know that you can sign up for our e-newsletter. If you don't get that, you guys need to be getting that, okay? It only comes once a week and it's very easily digestible. It has lots of fun graphics and it gives you a roundup of really our content throughout the week. Go to boundless.org and there's just the e-newsletter box right there. When you sign up for the e-newsletter, you are going to get a free download of excerpts of both Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman. So that's a great just bonus for you all. So make sure you check it out. I do have to say, we have to put this on today because Martha and I just got in the mail this morning a card. And let's just be honest, people, this is summer. We got a Christmas card. It has the three wise men walking across, following the star. And this is from Chris in Canada. And I'm going to read it because we love you, Chris, and thank you for your kind words. He says, "Dear folks at Boundless, Merry Christmas in July. I wanted to send you a card to thank and encourage you in your ministry. My sister introduced me to Boundless in late 2009, and I've been reading articles and listening to podcasts ever since. God used my sister and your material to convert me from being stubbornly against getting married to actively seeking it. One day, I hope to share my own engagement story with you guys, Lord willing. Regards, Chris." Chris, thank you so much. We love that you sent us a Christmas card. That is super creative. And we are so glad that Boundless has been an encouragement to you and a help to you as you've kind of navigated these young adult years. So, yay. Anyone else that wants to send us a Christmas card, please do. Okay, I'm just saying. So that is awesome. All right, well, here we are with our round table. And I've got three guys in the studio with me. Hey, guys.
How are you doing?
Very pleased to have you here for a fun conversation that you guys are going to bring some insight to, because we get letters from some of our guy listeners, let's be honest, who express frustration at just being kind of awkward around girls. And whether it's because they, you know, are into different kinds of hobbies, or whether because they're just quieter and shy, or whether because they just don't know how to open a conversation, or they feel like they're overlooked for the guys that are the more stereotypical, I know everyone hates this term, but I just have to say it, that stereotypical alpha male personality of just, you know, Ned Nickerson and Nancy Drew people. Do we remember him? Yes. Okay.
No.
Why does no one know Ned Nickerson?
We're doing read Nancy Drew. Hardy Boys.
Okay. Well, Hardy Boys and the Hardy Boys, but Ned Nickerson.
Was Ned Nickerson in the Hardy Boys?
No. Oh. He was Nancy Drew's boyfriend.
Oh. Oh, then I know exactly who
that is. But he was like, you know, sports star, whatever, blonde hair, those tight sweaters.
Yeah. Zach Morris.
Yeah. That guy. Kind of like that.
I'm
okay, whatever. Zach Morris. But so these guys write to us and they're just like, "Lisa, you're saying that we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to get married and we're supposed to do this and we're supposed to be intentional and we're supposed to pursue, but I don't even really know what to talk to women about. And I don't even know, I mean, how do I establish friendships with them? How do I even act normal about them? What if I don't, you know, our hobbies don't even mesh, or what if they just don't understand who I am or my personality?" And so these guys are willing to come to the table and share from their own experience to kind of shed some light on this and let everyone know that there are great guys out there who, Andrew, let's just be honest, you like to read books.
I do.
We're gonna start. Not only do you like to read books, you like to collect books because your office is full of them, and I can't even find what I'm looking for when I'm in there.
Yeah, it's all for show.
I know.
I can't even read. Can you believe it?
He just wants them.
He just wants posing.
Wants to run his hand along their spines and be like, "Oh,
yeah."
That's my
people come in like, "Whoa!" I'm like, yeah. "Right?
That guy's super smart."
Exactly. So, okay. Well, let's start out. I mean, do you guys feel? I mean, the way that I kind of cast that vision for what we're going to talk about, how does that resonate with you? I mean, and go back to, like, whether you want to go back to junior high or high school, or just when you knew know that at some point in your life you were going to have to start talking to girls. Did that strike fear in your heart? Were you just like, okay, whatever? Were you like, no, I'm just not going to talk to women? How'd you wrap your head around that?
I think until high school, I didn't realize there were any girls who shared any interests that I had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got to high school, I realized, oh, man, there are a whole lot of girls that like the same things I do. They're nerdy, geeky, sort of like
I was.
Give
an example. What are you saying, Ed? Like, what were some of the things you were into?
Books, sci-fi, mm-hmm. You know, just, you know, girls who are intellectually stronger than, you know, a lot of other people maybe. And I found those connections with them and became friends with them very, very easily.
Okay.
I just didn't realize that until high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the process of asking any girl out terrifies any guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have, you know, Matthew McConaughey abs and hair. Mm-hmm. If there's a girl out there that you like, the mere process of asking her out is exposing yourself and saying, I like you, before you know if she likes you back.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. And terrifying.
It's terrifying and intimidating to anybody. So don't feel alone in that, certainly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes especially when you have a friendship with that girl, like sometimes I felt like in middle school and high school, you'd have these great friendships and you feel like, man, this might be heading towards something. And then you bring it up and it's just complete rejection.
Cold water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, not only does that not happen, but the friendship is over, you know. And so that's the awkwardness of what is it about a relationship where it's kind of sink or swim? Like, you know, this is either going to happen or, you know, it might derail the whole friendship. And when you experience that, I think can be very deflating, where mm-hmm. you're kind of like, all right, so now there's like this magic formula that I need to figure out. And you start to become very calculating in your friendships and in dating, where you're overthinking everything because mm-hmm. you don't want that to happen again. So you start watching for, oh, okay, what are the signals that this is, you know, ready, actually could move to that step, you know?
Yeah.
And our personality type is very vulnerable to overthinking everything.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. So would you say then, you know, when you talk about, you know, pursuing women or whatever, when you talk about like what, you know, what relationships look like or what women are into and stuff like that, you know, when they talk, you know, because for guys, it's like all about, it's competitive everything. You're competing in everything. You're competing in academics.
Girls are that way too.
Girls are that way too. Yeah. Girls won't say they're competitive. They will say, well, Martha just got a finger pointed at me. So, okay. Okay. No,
Martha,
but girls will say, but girls will say, they'll couch it as performance, you know, oh, I have to be this or be that.
Yeah.
But guys, you know, guys compete in sports, they compete in grades, they compete with women, all that kind of stuff. So how, when you looked at relationships, I mean, did you see it as a competitive field? Did you see it as something of, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to eventually enter this fray? Or, I mean, how did you kind of gauge your own? Do you like size yourself up with other guys? I mean, did you find yourself doing that like throughout high school or beyond?
A little bit, I think. I mean, I think that the thing that I always thought was, like, my advantage is that I'm a nice guy. Like, I'm genuinely a nice guy. And then you look at all these other guys and you kind of are like, okay, they may be good at a certain sport or maybe popular, but deep down their heart is kind of, you know, dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of, you can sense that, especially I think in other guys, I can. And so there was a lot of times where it'd be frustrating because it'd be like, why are all the girls going for these guys that are, you know, just not, I'm trying to think of the nice way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these guys that just don't have a lot going for them, and you kind of can see that.
Right.
And then you look around at these, like,
and are just even shallow. I mean, they don't even have to be jerks. They could just be shallow or just not have much about them or immature.
Yeah. You know? And so that's the frustration, I think, is you're like, okay, I'm somebody that is, you know, at least going to treat you well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look around at these relationships where these guys who like have, you know, the total package, if you want to use that phrase, but yet are just jerks to be around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Are jerks to everybody that they're around. And you're like, okay, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, why mm-hmm. are these girls attracted to these bad boys?
And I get the impression a lot of girls actually are very attracted to intelligence. It's, I don't know what, mm-hmm. there's a disconnect there where maybe they don't make moves in that direction maybe for the same reason they're scared, we're scared at the same time.
Sure.
Now, but you Ed, were saying earlier before we started taping that you had no problem, you know, having friendships with girls and you had a lot of common interests and stuff like that, but your struggle was more moving it towards a romantic relationship. What really was the hang up there, do you think?
Well, it was what Andrew mentioned. You're dreadfully afraid that if you take a friendship that you value deeply and add a romantic element to it, that it's going to destroy the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that paralyzed me. Mm-hmm. And all through high school and college, and I just couldn't make that bridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking back, that was a false fear, I think. It was an imposition I was putting on myself. Mm-hmm. I was imagining, overthinking what the girl would think if I brought something up. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you'd have to ask the girls to see if that's correct or not. If, you know, if they really would think that, you know, I don't want to see this guy ever again because he feels that way about me. Or if, hey, this is a valuable friend, I'm not going to destroy the friendship. That's just a little weird element that we have to work in there somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, Ed and Abe, you guys are both married.
Yes.
Did you find that when you were interested in pursuing dating your wives, was that easier than you thought it would be? Was it harder? What were your big roadblocks? And did you have anyone like that had to step in and kind of help you overcome any fears? Or what really was your big, I mean, you know, because some people are just like, wait, they don't even think about it. They're just like, oh, this is so easy, whatever, you know, everyone's going to be interested in me. This is not, you know. So, I mean, what were your, because when it's something like you're saying, Ed, when it's something important to you or someone important to you, there's a lot of loss and a lot of risk associated with that, you know, so that's a hard thing to navigate. How'd you guys do it?
Well, for me, I don't like to toot my own horn, but I was simply tenacious with it. I saw her and I liked her and I wanted to be with her. And, she initially said no when I asked her to be my girlfriend, and I kind of felt deflated for a little while, and then I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to take that. And and I kept pursuing her. I chased off a British rugby player.
So. Whoa. That's pretty good.
Brains over bronze.
That's pretty good. So, now, does she say now what it was that, I mean, what was it that clinched it for her? Why did she discard the rugby player? Because that's pretty hardcore.
Well, for her, she talks a lot about, you know, she knew she was attracted to me, and she just kind of didn't want to face that idea of this is the one. That was the scary thing for her.
Yeah.
And
finally
and,
narrowing
yeah,
the field.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. How about you, Ed?
Well, I was the example that you do not follow. I literally let it paralyze me, my fears, and I would not make that step to be tenacious or anything. I literally didn't really date until I was 25 or 30. And, you know, it took a girl who was willing to kind of come after me to break through my shyness, and that's how I got married. I think just because of where my head was at, I wouldn't have gotten there on my own. And I wonder if that's a common problem or not. I've seen enough out there to think that I wasn't the only one that thought that way. And it's too bad. I really should have been more forward when I was younger. And, you know, I could have really had a good time.
Yeah.
But I missed it.
Well, and it's interesting because next week we'll actually talk with a group of women about how women being kind and being inviting and being open and just genuinely interested in guys can give guys courage to do that. You know, how women have a role to play in that, too. And I think there's a great role that we talk about this at Boundless a lot of where older men, too, can step in and help give you courage and give you advice and give you, you know, just, you know, kind of some motivation, I think, to know that it's, you know, someone is pursuable and that this is possible and all of that. So, Andrew, you alluded to, you know, being a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, I mean, because obviously, Okay, not that you're like a ladies' man, but you have.
Let's be honest.
You have women that are interested in you or have had. What? I know you totally have. So whatever.
Do you have a list?
Yeah. We all know names? Andrew. We love him. Probably like half of our Boundless audience would marry him.
Oh my gosh.
Because he writes such amazing blog posts. Whatever.
Oh okay, my goodness. Where is this coming from? But,
I know. I just sometimes
can go ahead and send in your marriage propositions. Yeah.
Exactly.
Applications will be.
I know. Exactly.
Wow.
But I think, but you've obviously had to realize that's something, it's something worthwhile and it matters because, you know, you can easily hear all these, you know, we have so many guys that tell us, oh, girls, they only like the bad boys. They only like mm-hmm. these, you know, whatever. And you know that that's not real. So yeah. How have you kind of worked that out as to who you are and being your real self?
Yeah. And I think, I think you're exactly right. One of the things that we have to do as guys is to become comfortable with who we are. Mm-hmm. Because I think when we're growing up, when we're growing maturity, we tend to look at the mirror of other people's opinions of us. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially we see this in middle school, where we are gauging our identity by how do people view me? And so I think there's a lot of people that even the foundations of their identity and who they are going back to, this is how people viewed me, you know, long ago, and it still resonates with us. Like, we still feel insecure at some level about things that happened when we were young in our school days. Yeah. And so I think, so part of the process is I think becoming comfortable with who we are, mm-hmm. like becoming comfortable with, you know, I'm a guy that likes to read. I like to read. And there's probably some guys would be like, oh my gosh, you're such a nerd. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that you enjoy that. But at some point you just are like, okay, that's who I am. That's how I'm wired, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of my friends have different things that they might geek out over. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of my roommates are big into board games. I mean, they are,
really?
I mean, it's amazing. They'll play board games all day on a Saturday. And that's not me, but I don't go home like, hey, you guys are nerds, you know? It's because they're comfortable in who they are and how and things they enjoy doing. And I'm comfortable being upstairs, you know, reading. And it's kind of like becoming comfortable in your own skin. And girls pick up on that. We have to recognize that you can't wear a mask into a relationship. You have to say, here's who I am, take it or leave it. And if you leave it, I'm okay. You know, there's some girl out there who's going to love me for who I am.
Yeah.
And so the sooner we can get to that, I like who I am, somebody out there is going to like who I am, mm-hmm. then the confidence and stuff that we talk about that makes mm-hmm. relationships good, mm-hmm. You know, works out. So
that being comfortable and confident in who you are, that's the most attractive thing you can be mm-hmm. to a
yeah.
girl.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're asking her out, you know, just to have the confidence of, you know, if you don't go out with me, I'm not going to go home and, you know, blow my brains out here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm confident enough mm-hmm. that I can handle a rejection, you know, and that will be attractive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In retrospect, sincerity and honesty and being genuine is so important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, but how can guys know when they are, I mean, because I think there is truly a difference between someone being quirky and interesting and into something that just, you know, isn't mainstream or whatever, and just like flat out being weird. I mean, I'm okay with board games. I'm not okay with like being in like level 2000 of Dungeons and Dragons and in like these weird, or, you know, like,
or
you know, if a guy comes to me and he's like, well, I love the Lord, but just every Saturday I dress up as a unicorn. No, that's not okay. Okay.
Well, I mean, no one at the table.
Why not? Yeah. No one has.
Why not? Jesus
unicorn.
Loves a guy.
He does.
Okay. So, well, I love him with the love of the Lord.
I think what you're talking about is kind of a relational awkwardness,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you handle when you're with somebody and it's just kind of, man, there's not even a conversation happening here. And we've all kind of been in a situation with that. And I think one of the things I would tell, like, you know, a guy who feels like they're that guy, where it's like, you know, I do feel like, you know, just having coffee alone with a girl is terrifying. Like, I don't know what I would say. Mm-hmm. What do you do? That person needs to really see that, like, making small talk and building those relationship skills is something they need to put effort towards. Mm-hmm. This is a skill that you need to work at. It's not, because I think sometimes we think, oh, well, there's extroverted people that are born with that gift, and there's other people that aren't born with that gift. Mm-hmm. And so people are just like, well, I'm just kind of resigned to being my lonely introverted self. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I don't think that's an accurate way to think of it. We should think of it as a skill that we can work at and develop. And so we read books, or, you know, read more books. That's the way to solve your geekiness. Read more books. but to learn that, like, to learn, I want to go into a conversation with a girl where I have 5 to 10 questions in my pocket, that things that I want to ask her about and that I'll follow up with, you know, right. and that you, when you go into a conversation, like, there are several things I'm interested in asking her about. All of a sudden it diffuses the awkwardness, because if all else fails, you just pepper her with questions. Mm-hmm. And hopefully she says something that you can follow up on.
Yeah.
I mean, and actually I do think there's a lot of people that at that level are like, oh, I didn't even know that. I just thought I was just awkward, and that I was just dealt that hand.
Right.
So far as the being, determining the difference between being weird and being quirky, I'd say, you know, all my friends are geeks, and the majority of them are married. And we all hit this point of, do yourself a favor. You know, you may have that great graphic t-shirt that you think is hilarious and really sums up who you are, and you may think that, you know, not washing your hair is super cool too, or whatever, but you do yourself a favor, and not that you throw out the geeky shirt, but that's not a first impression shirt. That's not a first date shirt. You know. So do yourself a favor and kind of rein back some of the geekiness when you're out there. And then once the girl gets to know you, chances are they don't care. I have a closet full of the most ridiculous shirts ever, and my wife does not care. And she thinks it's funny, and she even buys me them. So, you know, it's just a matter of of, you know, not hitting someone with your whole personality in that first second.
Well, and almost like being militant about it, you know, because like you're saying, I mean, you guys that are married, you eventually incorporate this other person into your life, and they're going to have varied interests. And so you have to develop some kind of interest. You have to ask good questions about them. It's not just all about, you know what, well, I'm just into Star Wars, and so that's, you know, take it or leave it, you know, whatever, and I'm just going to talk about it 24/7. Well, no,
sometimes
that's
a shield.
Yeah.
You know, you're not wanting to have to change, and so you try to, you know, push anyone away who isn't going to accept that about you. That's just not a good way to be.
And just being like with like, you know, again, that could be, and that could be, I mean, that's not even, that's not, I'm not only talking to like sci-fi people here. I mean, that could be people that are into tennis. I mean, that could be into any, that's just any.
Tennis
The thing to remember with any relationship, when it moves into marriage, hobbies are irrelevant. You will eventually be doing things that you don't do together. You know, that just for your own sanity, you will be doing that. So so having different interests is not as big of a stumbling block as most people think it is.
Right. So. Okay, so last kind of final word, you guys. What would you say? I mean, again, we're talking to those guys out there, the ones that have written to us who are just like, who claim that they can never get the girl, who claim that they can never bridge either, you know, like Ed, you were saying, from friendship. But all these girls, all they want to be is my friend. All they want to get turned down when I try to move in that direction, or they just feel like they can't even approach women, or they feel like, oh, you know, already judged from the women in their church or whatever. What is your advice to them? Where do they start today?
I think, I mean, one thing to do is just become okay with taking risks and seeing those risks, you know, fail. You know, like I think one way that we kind of cure our own anxiety is to say, okay, worst case scenario, she never talks to me again. Now, can I live with that? Yeah, it's worth the risk. And I think thinking about risk that way, where, you know, it will be hard if this doesn't work out, but I'll be okay. Like, I'll move on. And I think that sometimes can get you from that paralysis. You just, you know, take that step.
Well, and I would say, and we're going to talk about this next week, that any woman who, based on you putting yourself forward and taking a risk, is not going to talk to you again, that's weird. I mean, that's just, that's,
you wouldn't
want
to be with that
person.
That's
a whole other conversation with the women about their issues and stuff. So, yeah, that's just weird. And okay, good thoughts.
Bring walls down. Have confidence in yourself. I mean, I found out years later that there are a couple of cheerleaders who liked me. And I was so into the stereotypes, I just couldn't even conceive of that. So,
My advice, ask the girls out. You'd be surprised who will say yes.
And a lot of the girls, they have interests that are similar to yours, even if they're in a totally different
social group. Keep it under their hat, but there's some girl that looks, you know, ultra mainstream, and she's a diehard Doctor Who fan. Geeking out over the latest.
Definitely be aware of the t-shirts. The girls that are wearing the quirky t-shirts, you know that you have your own arsenal of them in your closet. You know there might be a connection there. That's exactly. good, too. Yeah. So, well, thanks you guys so much for being honest about that and just being giving some encouragement, I think, both to the men and to the women to recognize that, there's a lot of bridges to be crossed in this, but there's a lot of commonality in it. So those are great thoughts. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Sure. Thank you.